Malachi chapter 3, and everybody's kind of looking. We're going long tonight. So we'll preach till 5 after, and so that way you know exactly where we're headed. Malachi chapter 3, and we are going through a series of lessons on the attributes of God, and again, try not to do, you know, mental gymnastics with actually studying the attributes, but also its application to us. And tonight's attribute, that God is immutable, that God never changes, is probably the easiest one, one of the easiest ones to apply to our personal life, that we had so much application with this particular attribute. And so this goes along with what we studied 2 weeks ago, that God is eternal. And because God is eternal, He has to be immutable. God is eternal. It's from eternity past, eternity future, present. Therefore, God is and has and will never change. Look at Malachi chapter 3. And for lack of time, I'm just going to go ahead and read the text verse, and you can go back and read the first six verses. But there in verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." The children of Israel, after their captivity for 70 years in Babylon, had returned. And in returning, they had built the temple, done several of the things, and got things going. But they had returned to their sin. They had returned to the lifestyle before they went off into Babylon. And God's saying, if you'll return, verse 7 says, if you'll return, I'll come near to you. And they said, wherein have we left you? Or what do you mean we have gone back the way we are? And you see that all throughout the book of Malachi. Wherein have we left you? Wherein have we erred? Wherein have we? It was very much in his face saying, we haven't shied away. We haven't gotten away from the law. But they had. It's kind of like having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You know, it was amazing how they had drifted. And we see the same similarities today. That the children of Israel had changed. And they had changed for the worse. They had gone back to their other gods. They had gone back to sin and other things. And not keeping the law. And God said, I'm going to judge you for it. Those first six verses. I'm going to take you out. And so, they had changed. I want to remind you that what comes into your mind when you think of God is the most important thing about you. As you think about that, that it affects every area of your life. How big you think your God is affects every area of your life. How small you think God is affects every area of your life. When you're going through those deepest, darkest times, if your God is big, it affects the way you go through those deep, dark times. If your God is small, then it affects the way you go through those trials, testings, and tribulations. It really, and by the way, that touches every area of our life. Every area, not just finances, but physical, relational, everything. If you believe that God is above all, and He's transcendent, and He's holy other, and He's all-powerful, and He's in control, and God knows what He's doing because He's God, then everything that comes into our life, if you're a Christian, we know He has His hand on the thermostat. That God is in control. And in particular, how you think of God will determine how you respond in your life. What you think of God will determine how you feel in that situation. Whether or not you retain the joy, the peace, the comfort, all these things. So again, we want to emphasize to you, the attributes and studying them is not just doing mental gymnastics, but that it affects the entire area of your Christian attitude and your Christian being, and how we as Christians act and react to any given situation. Malachi points out here that they had changed. And though they were denying they had made the change, they had changed. And over again, God says to them, hey, get right, turn back. There are many similarities between what was happening in Israel and what's happening in America today. Many similarities. And, you know, today we have so many things going on. Our society is changing so rapidly. We can look back in time, and even in the 20s and 30s, and if you read about the Roaring 20s, and there right before the Great Depression, and how immoral America was at that time, and God may, I believe, used the Depression in some way to bring God, America back to God. I mean, it seems like every time America has swayed, something, God has woke us up by doing something, whatever that may be. And we see that not only, we see that in the 1800s as well. That's a whole other study. But God brings about things. And we see the changes that have happened in the 20s. We see those changes happening now. But the changes that happened in the 50s and 60s even, with the hippie movement, all the things that went on, we see those things happening now. And maybe to a greater degree. And I would say to a greater degree. And so rapidly. Isn't it amazing how just in 10 years how things can change? Just in 10 or 15 years. We were just had this discussion the other day. We were driving down the road, and I graduated from high school in 1992, 22 years ago. That's amazing. And life then was a lot different than it is now. I am telling you, society has changed. It has changed, and not for the better. Secularism has replaced, again, religion or God in every place, and we can always, ho-hum about prayer and Bible being taken out of school, but yes, a direct impact on our society. And because of those things that have taken place in our society, racism and homosexuality, I mean, even every area, has touched every area in society. I am so proud that the Supreme Court finally made a right decision one time. They've been really fouling up lately. But they did protect, in a limited way, our religious freedom. And it amazes me. I am fixing to drop off Facebook. I'm just going to get off of it. I'm going to knock myself off of it. It irritates me. I have liberals on my particular page, and I read about it, and I just want to slap them. I do. I just do in a very godly way. I just want to slap them. And but understand, there is a huge bulk of people in America who believe like they do. And I'm telling you, America's in trouble, folks, and you know it. And it's Wednesday night. I don't mean to bring you down, because I'm fixing to bring you back up in a second. But gosh, and I from the pulpit, we get on it every once in a while. I want to remind you that abortion's killing babies. I mean, and if you take a pill after you're pregnant and it aborts, that's murder. And if it's amazing, and our government now is paying for those things. Homosexuality is a sin. Romans chapter 1, you can go all through it. It's a sin. It's just amazing how immoral, how our society changes so quickly. I was encouraged. I met a PhD, a biologist here recently, and a lady, young too, in her 30s, creationist, going, teaching in a secular school, in a secular college. So in this dark world, there's hope. And they don't even really attend church. And I was just like, that's amazing. That's awesome. But society has changed. But I'm here to tell you, God never changes. Amen. And we have preached from this pulpit. I know I've preached three separate messages on the immutability of God. But I've also preached on Christ being our anchor and all these other things. Christ being our foundation. And many other passages and things that allude to God being unchangeable. And it ought to bring us comfort and peace and hope and knowing that the God we serve never changes from yesterday to today to tomorrow. And everything around us can change, but God does not change. He is a spirit. He's not a body. He's not a physical. He's a spirit. He is eternal. He is transcendent. He is a personal God who loves each of us and cares for each of us and is concerned about each of us. And this same personal God never changes. I don't know about you, but my attitude towards people changes from day to day. Right? Come on, wives, you know it. From day to day. Some days you want to hug him, some days you want to slap him. Right? Our attitudes towards each other change, but God's attitude towards us never changes. And I'll cover more of that in a moment. God is a God who never changes. Again, weather changes, economics changes, but God never changes. And the world can change, and they can change the truth into a lie, Romans chapter 1, verse 25. But God never changes. God never changes. How big is your God tonight? My God's big enough, He never changes. God never changes from today to tomorrow to yesterday. By the way, I want to point this out, God's Word never changes. God's Word never changes. And I preached a whole message on this about 2 years ago. But I want to point out just a couple of things. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It's settled. Amen. God's word is settled. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished and so forth unto all good works. Listen, the Word of God is unchanging. It's settled. From beginning to end, it's perfect. It is the Word of God. It can be relied upon. It can be trusted. 2 Peter 1:21, these are familiar passages, but for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Remember now, it's been a while since I've quoted you this, but 1,600 years, 40 different authors, 1,600 years, written over 1,600 years, 40 different authors, yet not one error in it, not one contradiction in it. It's a miracle. It's a miracle book. It's God's Word. It never changes. Revelation 22 says, we are commanded not to add to or subtract from the book. Matthew 5:18 says, for verily, verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot, one tittle, shall in no wise pass till all be fulfilled. The Bible teaches us the preservation of the Scripture. And the Bible teaches us that we should not add to or take away from the book. I again want to encourage Heritage Baptist Church, church family, be careful of the new translations. Be careful. The King James Bible is the best translation. It is the most honest translation. And you can take the NIV and it's thousands upon thousands of errors. I mean, it's there's no contest if you compare them side by side, which is the best. The King James Bible is God's inspired and errant Word of God in the English language. And so I want to encourage you that as a church, that's what we use. We believe that the King James Bible, that its text is superior, that it was translated from the Greek and the Hebrew. Those texts that were used to translate the King James were superior than the texts they use today. They use corrupt texts today, guys. And I'll sit down with you and I can discuss it with you anytime you want. But even the New King James, they still, even in the New King James, translated from some corrupt manuscripts. So you got to be very careful. Very careful. In a world that is changing, I'm glad our God never changes and His Word never changes. His never changes. I'm glad tonight that His faithfulness never changes. We spent several months last year preaching on the promises of God. And I'm glad His promises are always, always come to pass. God's Word never changes. God's faithfulness never changes. He is our anchor. We do have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, right? We have something to latch onto. And I'm glad He latches onto us. We have an anchor, a sure foundation. Psalm 119, verse 90 says, Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Thy faithfulness is to all generations. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10 through 12 says, And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thy hand. And they shall perish, but Thou remainest. And they shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall fail not. I love that. We described this to you a few weeks ago, in one of the other attributes. You realize what He did there in Hebrews? He says, you fold up the earth, the universe, like a garment. Think about how big God is. He can just take and fold up the universe like a pillowcase, or like a shirt, right? That's what it says. He folded it like a garment. Our God is so big. He is so big. He never changes. He changes not. The world changes. The weather changes. Everything else changes. This old earth is going to change. But God never changes. God is faithful. God is faithful in all generations. He is faithful in times of trials. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Most of you have heard this many times. But God is faithful, who will not tempt you above that ye are able, but will make a way of escape. And God will never put you through more than you can handle with His Holy Spirit's help. You say, well, you don't understand, preacher. I'm neck deep. I understand that. I've been there. We've all been there. But God is able. And He will make a way of escape. Well, I've been neck deep for months. God has His hand on the thermostat. It may get hot, but God's one moving the temperature gauge. And God uses various things in our life, and there's trials and testings and tribulations. He uses those to try us as gold in the fire, to help us become more like His Son, Jesus Christ, to conform us to the image of His Son. Romans 8:28 applies as much today as it's ever applied, that God works all things together for good. Listen, we must understand that God is faithful in trials. And God is faithful every time you go through something. God is faithful every time I go through something. And God will never leave us nor forsake us. And God loves us as much today as He loved us yesterday. God is so faithful. God is faithful to help us and to lighten our load. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The world doesn't care for you.
Amen.
They don't. This world doesn't care for you. And there's times where friends stop caring for you. There's times in which loved ones stop caring for you. There's times in which moms and dads may stop caring for you, or our sons and daughters may stop caring for you, but God never stops caring for you. And God always comes through. God is always faithful to His children. I don't know about you, but I want to take care of my children. I help them. You know, help them with college. Help them with vehicles. I don't pay it all, by the way. I made a deal with my kids early on in life that I pay half. Pay half their school, pay half their vehicles, pay half their insurance. I don't pay it all. And you can do what you want, but that's the way we've done it. And by the way, only do that if they act right and do right. If they want to rebel, I do nothing. Zero. Zero. He who pays the bills makes the rules, by the way. I hadn't said that in a long time. It just felt like that should come out. Parents, if you pay the bills and they're in college, you make the rules. You still make the rules. If they're married and you're still paying bills, you make the... No, seriously, you make the rules. As long as you're paying a bill, you make the rules. Anyway, so... But we want to help our kids, don't we? I mean, as my kids are getting older, I want to help them more. Especially, you know, I feel like God's blessed me with some good kids. I want to help them.
Amen.
Right? God wants to help you. God... In fact, my love for my children is an imperfect love compared to God's love for you and for me. God cares for us. And God always comes through. I'll never forget, in 2002, if some of you remember, we were trying to get into this building. And so we had our big fall festival out here, the big one, very first one. And we went before and we talked to the men, the finance team at that time, and said, you know what, this thing's going to cost us about $20,000.
Yep.
And I think we even brought it to the church. I think we didn't just take it to the men. I think we even brought it to the church and said, all right, we're going to do this. And at that time, we didn't have the money. I mean, we put some on the credit card with the church's approval. Felt like that was the thing to do. It was that time, it was the thing to do. Right thing to do. We had 800 people show up. It was amazing. It was fantastic. It was amazing. And so we got back, we paid that credit card off, and everything fine within that next month, so forth and so on. But we got down to the end of the year, we had nothing. Remember this, guys? Some of y'all remember. I'm telling about... There was nothing in the bank. We got to December. There was nothing. You know, what are we going to do? God's going to come through. And I'll never forget getting that check that proved it. Somebody gave $10,000 to the church. I mean, it happened just within a few weeks, you know, maybe a couple of weeks of that. And by the way, we didn't make that public. It wasn't public that we were down to, you know, scratching pennies in the bottom of the barrel. God's good. God provides for His church, and God will provide for you the same way. I've told you, there's been several times in my life where I have gone back and looked at God providing the financial need, but also God providing physical needs, and God providing relational needs, how God has mended broken hearts. Listen, God will mend that relationship in your life. God can do that. You may not accomplish that, but God could do it for you. God cares for you. God loves you. And I'll go ahead and say this, and God loves you as much today as He loved you yesterday. Listen, our attitudes toward people change, but God's attitude for us never changes. You say, preacher, yeah, it does. He pours out His wrath sometimes. That doesn't mean His attitude for us changes. That just means He's judging sin. But He loves you as much today as He loved you yesterday. When I disciplined my kids, I didn't love them any less. Right?
Right.
And mine's an imperfect love. God loves us unconditionally. God loves us unconditionally. Isn't it great? Parents, I want to remind you, your kids can do some awful things sometimes, and things can go wrong, but you should love your kids unconditionally. Doesn't mean you should condone their behavior, and doesn't mean there shouldn't be judgment take place, but you should love them unconditionally. And they should feel that, and they should know that, and make a difference in their life. God loves us unconditionally. I'm going to just stay on this a little more. I want to remind you that I love my kids. I love my kids, and they're all in the youth department now, which is amazing. I'm old. But I love my kids no matter what they do. And that's the way you love your kids, right? God loves you no matter what you do. God loves you even though you didn't read your Bible this morning. I just want to be very careful in our church that we don't get the impression that because we do this, God loves us. God loves us no matter what. Now, God will shine His favor upon us because we do the right thing, but He loves you no matter what. Make that very, very clear. You know, just because the preacher got up, and I do it for every once in a while, and talk about soul winning, visitation, and Bible reading, and tithing, and all the right things we should do as Christians, and yes, we should do those things, and yes, God will bless you if you do, but can I tell you, it's not connected to His love. He loves you no matter what. Well, say, I can't understand that, because as human beings, we don't get that. Well, that's what we're talking about. Our God is bigger than we are. Our God is, again, I don't use the word transcendent, we've already studied it. He's wholly other. And He loves you so much tonight. I'm glad He loves me in spite of me. Man, He puts up with me. Isn't that good? He puts up with you. I don't care whether you've been a Christian 2 days or 50 years. God loves you as much today as He loved you yesterday and love you tomorrow. God never changes. His word never changes. His faithfulness, His promises never change. And God's plan of salvation does not change. I'm glad He's still saving by grace through faith. Amen. We live in a changing world, but God never changes. In these changing times, we have an unchanging God. And that brings us peace and comfort. Amen. Listen, our government is not the answer. God is the answer. And I can tell you, unless America has revival, it's not going to get better, folks. You know, and again, that was my point in the beginning, that when America has become immoral and gone this way, revival has taken place. We pray for another revival. I believe it could happen today. Amen. And totally change the landscape just as fast as it's been changed the other way. God loves us tonight. God never changes. He does not, cannot, will not change. He is eternal and therefore unchangeable in His attributes. He never changes for the better, for the worse. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He is holy, perfectly holy. I can't wait to get to that attribute. His word does not change. His faithfulness, His promises do not change. In times of trial, He helps us. In times of burdens, He carries and lightens our load. He does not change. He does not go through mood swings. Is that good? There's your good one. You can take that home with you. I don't know about you, but my kids will testify this. As I've gotten older, I've gotten grouchy. I said this here a while back from the pulpit. When I get tired, I get grouchy. Caleb will testify. I do. I don't know. It's something that's happened to me in the last several years. And so I have to be aware of that, and I am. And so I have to be careful sometimes. It's kind of different than my normal personality. I'm like, you know, I'm usually laid back. But now I get grouchy. Mood swings. I don't know. Brother Clark will get me in trouble up here. But we go through different stages in life. Even personalities can change somewhat. God never changes. Never changes. His attitude, I like this one now, and you can challenge me on this one. God's attitude towards us never changes. His attitude never changes towards us. In other words, His feelings towards us do not change. You say, well, I know in the Bible there's a couple of places. Yes, again, Because of our sin, we move, but He does not move. Keep that in mind. Because of our sin, we may move away from God, but God is still where He was at. And that has to do more with the area of judgment and wrath, not His love. God never changes. Never changes. Let's go home tonight and think about that. I don't know what you may be going through tonight, what you may be facing. Whatever stage in life you may be, whatever relationship, whatever financial issue, whatever pain, health. Man, I can look at the congregation tonight, I can just see all the things going on. Man, sometimes it can be overwhelming even. But let's be reminded that God never changes. And He's faithful. Amen. Faithful during those times to help you. carry. I'm glad his yoke is easy. By the way, it says his yoke is easy and his burden's light. Doesn't mean, anyway, that's a whole other sermon. God's good.
Amen.
All right, let's all stand. Hymn 153.